Hello, and welcome to the Feminine Podcast. This is Reese E. Lewis, hosting live from Philadelphia, PA. You know, at the Feminine Podcast, we talk about everything in between, a little bit of femme, a little bit of EM, and not just EM. So today I have a wing woman, a co-host. Her name is?
Amy Zeiden. I'm honored to be here. This is a promotion.
Amy Zeiden, do you want to give the audience your two-minute elevator speech?
Sure, I'll make it 1 minute. I'm currently an ultrasound fellow at the University of Kentucky. We'll be joining faculty at Emory next year in the amazing city of Hotlanta, Georgia. I recently finished my emergency medicine residency at the University of Pennsylvania, which is where I met the amazing Vidya and Risa, which is how we are all here connected today.
Now the audience might be saying, Vidya, who's Vidya? We haven't heard from a Vidya. So audience, our special guest today is doctor, although she says she's not yet a doctor. We're going to just go with it. She's a doctor, Dr. Vidya Viswanathan. Vidya, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
Vidya, tell us about yourself.
I'm a fourth-year medical student at the University of Pennsylvania. I just matched at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia.
Congratulations.
Yes. Staying in Philadelphia 3 more years as a pediatrics resident. And I run a website and organization called Doctors Who Create, which is focused on encouraging creativity in medicine. One of the reasons I never wanted to be a doctor until after college, even though both my parents are physicians, was that feeling that being pre-med really extinguished all other paths. And I think that's a narrative handed down by advising, by institutions, by just the culture that medical training creates. And so it never really enticed me, even though I loved science and I wanted a career that dealt with people. I loved being around people primarily. I didn't want an office job. And then I graduated college. I lived in Taiwan for a year, was teaching English. And while there, I was, you know, continuing to do things I loved, like writing and reading a lot and teaching. And I made friends there who were going through a lot of medical issues. A lot of them were older friends, like the teachers at my school. And I also was reading a lot about Taiwan's national healthcare system. And I saw such differences in healthcare there versus what I had been exposed to in the US. And it really just made me interested more in medicine as a career. So it really took going away from the environment in the US to really understand who I was and what I wanted. So I came back, did my post-bac classes at night while working during the day, and suddenly I was a pre-med. And I realized that as a pre-med, advisors would tell me, why are you spending your time on these writing projects that don't seem to relate to your medical training? Why don't you use that time to study for the MCAT? And that really bothered me because I felt medicine has all these issues that need to be addressed, and the people who are going to address them are going to be people who are creative and, you know, willing to take some risks in order to make change. And that's when I decided I'm not going to leave medicine because of this. I'm going to try to stay in medicine and change it to be more welcoming to different personalities, different interests, and not tell pre-med students, hey, you need to check these boxes and toe the line all the time.
But one thing I want to highlight about this episode and why it was important for me is what I've seen over my years of practicing medicine and developing in academics is men are more likely earlier on in their career to go for their ideas, to develop their passions. And in fact, we had an episode with Jacob Avila and Matt Racinti, who as med students and or early residents started developing a podcast, started doing a website. And what I've seen is in general, social media, whether it's podcasts, blogs, webinars, et cetera, like I often see men going with their ideas, but I don't see a lot of women doing that. And what I'm so pleased by and so glad to see is that Vidya has been doing this and was doing it early on as a med student, and it was driven by her college and her post-bac years. So not only would I love you to tell us about the conference, but also, you know, what do you think made you go for it when I do think women are like, I'm not ready yet. Maybe in a few years, I don't have time. And you're like, no, this is important. I'm going to do this now.
I think that's a great question. And I think a lot of it relates to identity and like how you see yourself. So for me, I came into medical school and even before that came into the post-bac thinking, I'm not going to lose who I am. And part of who I am is kind of doing things that don't necessarily follow a path. So for example, when I went to college, I was interested in taking Mandarin. Once I started taking it, there were opportunities to go to China. And I was like, I'll do that. And that hadn't been part of any sort of plan, but I was like, I'm following how I feel. And that's sort of the same way. I was like, I know I'm going to start medical training and I'm not going to be able to necessarily like up and move to a different country, but I can still follow my interests in writing and literature and in traveling and keep that part of me alive. So that was always something I wanted to keep alive, just that spirit of taking risks and starting things without knowing where they would end up. And specifically with Doctors Who Create, I felt like it was very sustaining for me in medical school because I would talk to physicians and interview them for the website, or I would build a team and reach out to people at different levels of their training in medicine. And I would always learn something from those interactions. So they were sharing things for the site and for the organization, but I was also gaining a lot in terms of getting the inspiration and the motivation from them to keep it going. And so that's really the main reason I was able to keep it up during medical school, is really a combination of identity and finding that community that I wouldn't have found necessarily elsewhere.
Do you think part of it was messaging from your parents?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So my parents are both physicians. My mom is a pediatric hematologist oncologist, and my dad is a psychiatrist. They both work in Brooklyn. When they got married, my mom was a resident, my dad was an attending, and they've been working in their respective hospitals since like the early 1980s. And it's funny, my mom is one of those people who it feels like she really can do it all. And it's something I just grew up with and I took as fact. And I never really heard from her about her challenges as a woman in medicine until I started medical training and asked her about it. But she's now risen to being chair of her department, pediatrics. She's really worked hard to get there. And it's never been a question or an issue that she would not try for that in my parents' relationship, as far as I know. And so it's been really interesting talking to people about that and hearing them say, wow, that's so rare for a woman, especially of your mother's generation, to advance to that level in the medical field. And I thought, well, she kind of raised me to think like she did. And both my parents really valued my career. And I have two older brothers. And it's funny, no matter how many people I meet, the people I always think I'm most similar to are my two older brothers. And so to me, thinking personality-wise about gender differences, I always saw myself in my brothers, and so I never saw my traits as being necessarily like male or female traits. I just saw it as these are the Viswanathan children traits, and I'm so happy to have siblings I'm really close with that I share those traits with. And they treated us like that as well. So they expected or valued the same things in me that they valued in them. And I just felt like, you know, my dad would say things if I said, oh, I'm so tall, and I would like stress about it as a younger teenager. My dad would say things like, oh, being taller gives you a higher salary. Like, he was just like, it's been correlated with career success.
That's awesome.
I didn't really care about that as like a 13-year-old, but it's kind of nice thinking now that, oh, like they never told me that anything about me was going to be negative, even though societally, unfortunately, there is a great deal of bias, and it's almost something I've had to like figure out myself, but not grow up with this burden.
Well, it's, I think it's fantastic. It's not part of your foundation and your skeleton.
Yeah, and I loved building the schedule of the day along with our team, because our team is very diverse in terms of levels of training. So we have undergrads, pre-meds, and post-bac pre-meds. We have med students, and we have, early and later career attendings, and also diverse in terms of gender and race. And I felt like it was easy to think of different ideas of different speakers to bring in so that we weren't just featuring the same people who get featured at a lot of conferences, and particularly not kind of having very homogenous panels or events. We were really trying to showcase a variety of levels of training and experience, types of creative outlets, and then, you know, a diverse like group of people by many factors. So I loved helping devise the schedule of the day. And we started out with a keynote speech by this physician named Dr. Emily Silverman, who has started a storytelling event called The Nocturnists. And she and I had connected because I had interviewed her for Doctors Who Create a few years ago. And remembering that connection, reached out to her, asked if she'd want to be part of the conference. And, you know, she was like ready to come to Philadelphia to be a keynote for this conference that had never happened before. So I really appreciated that people being willing to just believe in the day and believe that it would be worth it. And then after that, we had a panel that was about keeping creativity alive in your medical career and featuring physicians who have managed to create art, managed to write books alongside their medical careers. And then we had workshops. So a big part of the day was not just having plenary sessions, but having smaller breakout workshops. And I can tell you a little bit more about that afterwards. But in the afternoon, in addition to more workshops, we had the panel that you were on, Dr. Lewis, which was Activism in Medicine. And I think that panel really was important for a lot of people to watch, because realizing that activism is not just something you do as a single person, but you have to create movements and you have to put a lot of extra work as a physician into doing that and think of a lot of creative ways in which to push progress. And so it was great to see four different panelists, including yourself, talk about their work in activism and medicine. And then we had a podcast taping with our Doctors Who Create podcast, where we actually had someone who hosts a Twitter chat on medical humanities. Her name is Dr. Colleen Farrell. She ran a Twitter chat that we actually taped, where she both facilitated the chat on Twitter, but then had people up there talking about this poem that she'd selected. And then we closed with a storytelling event, which I think was a great way to end the conference, because it was really showcasing personal stories from people about the topic of identity in medicine.
It struck me as the venue for the conference was not by accident. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the venue was the Mutter Museum College of Physicians of Philadelphia space. So basically the Mutter Museum is a very old landmark institution in Philadelphia that houses this medical historical collection. So they have a lot of specimens that physicians in the 19th century had collected, showing early signs of early diseases and early medical notebooks and textbooks and journals. And it's just a really fascinating museum. They call it a Museum of Medical Curiosity. And that same building is also where this group called the College of Physicians of Philadelphia is housed. And so they are this physician society that has also existed for over a century. And the space in which we held the conference was this huge hall with portraits of past members of the College of Physicians of Philadelphia, which I noted in my welcome speech were almost all elderly white men. And so it was really exciting to not just have the beautiful space, because that hall was, you know, wood paneled and had beautiful lighting, but also know that we were changing things in medicine as a diverse group of people gathering in that space that has historically been not as diverse. And during the day, some people were able to visit the museum. And there was even one of the workshops was sketching anatomy, and led by two student artists who are really, really excellent sketchers, and they taught people how to see the specimens in the museum and draw them. So it was a really cool space for kind of embodying that intersection of arts and medicine.
As a conference participant, I would say that the way you organized the day and the specific people you selected was very impactful, because everything felt meaningful. Everything was curated to a point of feeling and of inspiring. And I was struck by some of the physicians that actively write poetry or paint or write. It's not just hobby, and it's not like I'm burnt out, I'm trying to correct that. It is vital for their life. It's actually vital for their work as physicians to make sure they maintain this. And I think if more people had that insight and awareness, mm-hmm. people overall would probably be more productive at whatever their chosen path is, but also I think they would physically, emotionally, psychologically feel better. I really do.
I would like to add to that, Risa, because it's sort of funny when Vidya talked to me about Doctors Who Create, it was always very much her passion, and I was always available to help encourage her and help her figure out how to make things happen. But I actually never felt creative. I've never myself really said, oh, I am a physician and specifically a creative physician. But Vidya and Doctors Who Create have helped me understand that creativity can be your own interpretation, and that I actually am quite creative in my medical career, and that actually sustains me as well in the things that I do. So that's sort of a plug for anyone who thinks that they may not be creative or not understand their creative identity in their profession. I would encourage you to meet Vidya and Doctors Who Create.
Thank you. I definitely think you're very creative, Amy, just by your emails to me alone. But one of the things you were saying was helping me with logistics, which I just want to call out that that's actually a huge part of these events that seem to go off super well. There's so much logistics behind it, and that's something I didn't understand and that Amy really helped me with, because I think that the problem with a lot of medical training is you kind of get used to one specific way of thinking, and you don't really get that much training in things like planning or managerial training. Like a lot of my classmates, they're getting MBAs and they're saying, you know, even if I'm not interested in business, I get leadership and management training that I don't otherwise get. And I think what's been great about running Doctors Who Create is through interacting with people like Amy who have experience in leadership and in logistics, I'm able to quickly learn that and bring it. And the best part, which I haven't even told you, Amy, is one of my friends was planning an event in March, and I had just been on a bunch of calls with Amy about how to create spreadsheets to decide on what AV needed to be in each room and all of these logistical things that I didn't really think about. And I was able to tell my friend, hey, you need to have, you know, a spreadsheet that says, like, how many mics do you need? Who needs to be there at this point? Like, you know, time block it out. And she was so grateful. And I was thinking, you know, what Amy gave me, I'm able to pay forward. And it seems so simple, but it's actually like crucial things that we don't really know how to do as just a team of medical people trying to plan a conference.
So skill set building, amplifying, putting it forward and raising each other up. That's mm-hmm. what we're all about here at FemineM, right, Amy?
That is FemineM Forward. That is us.
Okay, so I want to thank both of you, Amy, for wing personing and co-hosting.
Invite me back, please.
Yeah, you will be invited back. You'll become, I'm sure you'll become a top rated co-host for the FemineM podcast.
Great. I'd like to be a regular.
Vidya, we really appreciate you taking the time. Best of luck at CHOP with your residency. I suspect you and I are going to continue to keep in touch and be creative. I think as we walk and talk, there are going to be 20,000 items on our discussion agenda. Amy, are there any announcements you have for the audience?
There are so many things happening at FemineM. So let me just give a few updates about FIX and FemineM Forward. So FIX, we have a number of really fun events the day before and during FIX. We also are still looking for sponsors for our childcare room and our party. So if you're interested, please contact anybody in FemineM, including myself. And something I'm really excited about, that this is, I think, the first time anyone has ever heard about it, is we are launching a new initiative through Fix and Feminem called Feminem Forward. And it is our way of paying it forward. So part of that includes supporting women from low middle income countries to attend Fix. And another part of that includes adopting an organization for Fix 19 to be our sort of featured organization, an organization that's doing really amazing work in this world. But I will not announce the organization yet to keep everyone waiting.
So we'll call that an appetizer, a prelude to what's to be announced in upcoming episodes.
Correct. When you invite me back to co-host.
That's right. Okay, which will be happening soon. So Vidya and Amy, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon, audience.